so you're not popping back and forth in case there's a question.
Linda, get out of this.
We want to see your smiling face. She's taking her gum out.
Oh, the gum chewing cow and the gum chewing group. Yep.
Ready? I'm going to call the subcommittee of the Joint Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee to order. I'm going to open a public hearing on 55 Senate Bill 5509 regarding the Department of Corrections budget. And we're going to stand in recess. Is here with the LFO recommendation.
Mr. Chair, in front of you should be a memo. I believe it's dated June 10th. Mine is dated June 11th because I printed a new copy out the day after. But as you see, this is the work session or the working memo for 5509. Major issues in the Department of Corrections. The projected number of inmates continues to grow. The April 2003 forecast is up. And we'll talk about that later on in terms of filling that hole. But roughly by July of 2005, they'll need 250 more beds than what are beds or capacity of 250 more than what is included in the governor's budget. That gap or that growth will continue. But overall, during the 2003-2005 biennium, we expect a 9% increase in the prison population of just under 1,100 beds with the new forecast. To meet that growing trend, both in the governor's budget and the new forecast, there is no new construction anticipated in the governor's budget, but the department came back with a plan for that relies extensively on emergency and temporary beds throughout the system, and toward the end of the biennium, rental of county-operated capacity of county jail beds to meet the expected growth. They will be very unlikely to be able to absorb any further growth in 2005-2007, and for that reason, at some point in time, we will need to talk about increase of capacity and potentially looking at the Lakeview site as for doing that, and that's a subject for a little later during this work session. So we do have a $30.6 million gap in community corrections. That gap is calculated without any inflation. My recommendations, as well as the governor's budget, will strip all inflation out of this budget, but there will be a gap of $30.6 million. Unless you fill that gap, counties will be able to opt out of the community corrections system. Four already have. But filling this gap will keep further counties from continuing and will likely mean that those counties will return back into the system.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Butler.
Doug, will that take a full $30.6 million to fill that hole before counties wouldn't start backing out, or are you saying that some portion of the $30.6 million could assist other counties from bailing out?
We are assuming to keep to fully fund community corrections so no counties will opt out based on 2003-2005 numbers that you will need the $30.6 million. If that is helpful, Mr. Chair. What is unclear to a certain extent is for those four counties that have already notified opting out, they opted out based on the cuts during 2001-2003. And from what I heard, most or all of those counties would continue the program in 2003-2005 and not and sort of rescind their opt-out agreements. That is my understanding in talking to the department and others. But the entire $30.6 million is what we feel will need to be added back to keep any further opt-outs from continuing.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Devlin.
Just for the record here, I would just like to request that the county representative that's here see if AOC would put out a letter to that effect so it would be included in members' bill files, because I get about four questions a day about whether 30.6 is the number.
Can we ask Paul to come up? We're in public hearing now, so you guys don't all have to leave. Just hand Paul the microphone.
We have two chairs, Paul.
Paul's going to start using guile. That's all.
He doesn't bite you guys, we promise. He's been properly vaccinated. Go ahead, Paul.
Members of the subcommittee, I'm Paul Snyder, representing the Association of Oregon Counties. We've had some contact with LFO and DAS regarding whether 183.5 is the right number. And that's a question, Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin. It would have to do, I think, there is an assumption that there would be no inflation in the department's budget. And therefore, there is no requirement based on a recent Attorney General's opinion that community corrections have inflation. But there are cost drivers in community corrections that are similar to cost drivers in the Department of Corrections, like increases in pharmaceutical costs in the prison, increases in pharmaceutical costs in the jail. Rollout of collective bargaining agreements negotiated in the preceding biennium. Energy costs in the prison system. The issue, Mr. Chair, is...
Senator Devlin?
I would say one of the things, we're probably going to pass this budget out onto the full committee. It may not go very expeditiously there in sense going to the floor from that committee, but this is, in a sense, a number that I don't think is going to change. And if it changes and these negotiations go on farther, it may go lower rather than higher. So I don't think this is probably the best opportunity to argue for higher dollars for that figure.
Representative Hansen.
Well, I think with my good colleague from the Senate, you can play good cop, bad cop. I agree with Senator Devlin that the chance of the dollars going higher are probably slim to none, but are there any potentials in terms of reducing the strain on counties by reducing the scope of service in terms of what we're buying for the $183 million?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, yes, there is that potential. There are some workload reduction plans that have been drafted, but not heard. So there are those possibilities. Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, I fully understand the mix that we're in and the difficulty going above that figure, and I don't anticipate that's going to happen. There is a bill, though, Senate Bill 50, that is in the Ways and Means Committee that clarifies the issue with respect to inflation that we've discussed in the context of the Attorney General's opinion. And that would go a long way toward dealing with our issues with perhaps even a delayed effective date.
Thank you, Mr. Snyder. It might be a nice message to send to the Assembly that the counties can live with $30.6 million because it is unlikely that they will get any more, so that we can have a message that is clear to the membership rather than fighting this budget across the floor. So, thank you.
Joseph? Yes, Mr. Chair, I still believe, though, that it's probably valid to come back and identify what constitutes inflation. The fact that we may not give the Department of Corrections a CSL, which includes a little bit of inflation and some population and some roll-ups and federal fund programs and those kinds of things, I don't think that it really makes the state a very good partner when we say we'll give the Department of Corrections an adjustment for prescriptions and medical costs, and we'll give them an adjustment to their rates for the energy costs, but those are not, that isn't reflective of the increases that counties may have experienced in taking care of those community corrections bills. I like the idea of what Representative Hansen has recommended, and that is, what can we buy for the $183.5 million? And what mandates can we take away and subtract from counties in that process? When we can't give you what we really should be giving you, what can we give for what we can't give you? And I think that's a good message. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Paul. Doug?
The last point on this page is that there were two provisions in the co-chair's budget which I do not address in this memo, and that was the $12.6 million general fund reduction from changes in transitional leave and earned time, and the transfer of certain youth offenders from OYA to DOC. Both of those are likely to require legislative action. We may be talking about the OYA transfer here a little later. Moving on to the second page, Mr. Chair, Senator George is here.
Got that. We will formally open a full public hearing on this Ways and Means Subcommittee. We have our well, and I can open a work session at the same time. Go ahead, Doug.
Mr. Chair, on the top of the page, on page two, there's our usual candidate for the LFO recommended agency-wide changes for merits, vacancies, attorney general, DAS assessments, and inflation. Those will be individually voted on in each of the units, but they're explained here. The merit increases, of course, reflect the work that DAS did and that LFO worked on in terms of taking out any increases for pay for merit purposes out of the governor's budget. The governor's budget assumed a figure state government-wide but did not take individual numbers out of agencies. Vacancy savings I'll come back and talk to you about in a minute. The AG reductions reflect the work that this subcommittee did a number of months ago. The DAS assessments reflect the work of the general government subcommittee on tort liability, telecommunications, and other DAS assessments. And inflation, in this case, the governor's budget took out much of the inflation, but DAS, the department, and I looked a little further and found another almost $919,000 of inflation still in this budget, and that has been taken out. So those are the recommended adjustments, and you can deal with those as we go through each individual budget unit. In terms of the vacancy-related savings, there was a list of 1,140 entries in the vacancy list that was made in early March. And the characteristics of those were that 565 were not even funded anywhere in the governor's budget just because of the way the list was generated, included a number of positions that had been reduced or created and then taken away during the special sessions. 38 positions have been filled. 210 positions relate to decision packages that we'll deal with a little later or that are part of the governor's budget, but they were not even funded it until the beginning of 03-05, so they may be vacant, but they're not even funded, and 328 were funded and still vacant. We took a different approach in the vacancies in this budget because of the size of the budget and the nature of the vacancies. Most of the vacancies, or many of them, were either security officers or required health care and other program staff that we felt that probably should not be cut for the many reasons that the co-chairs and others had stated in terms of public safety and required services, so that we wanted to make sure that we took an approach that may be adjusted, but we still got significant savings out of the budget. Positions that were specifically removed in this budget include 11 positions. I'm on the bullets on page 3. 11 positions that were program positions, but the agency had not filled these positions or using the dollars under contract. So what we are recommending is take the 11 positions, abolish them, but transfer the $1.6 million to program to reflect what actually is being dealt with right now. 12 inmate work-related positions. These were other fund positions. These are positions that have been vacant for some time and are not needed. Because the inmate workload is not there. If inmate work, demand for inmate work does increase, they can go back to DAS and get limited duration position authority if need be. They do not need general fund for that. LFO and the agency, along with BAM, discussed further vacancy savings. We took an alternative approach to generate almost around $11 million in vacancies. That approach will be hold those positions, hold positions vacant to generate those savings across the department. It means delays in hiring in many positions, but does not mean the abolishment of those positions. Many of those positions, of course, would be those that are being need to be filled for public safety purposes. In addition, LFO is recommending the abolishment of the 23 positions already mentioned, the first two bullets, and another 113 positions from various administrations, central office, and a few other positions out in the prisons for abolishment. Many of these come off to what people have referred to as the Campbell plan. Not to put any credit on Mr. Campbell, but these were positions that were worked through with the agency and DAS and others in terms of getting to the governor's revised budget. So this would mean that there'd be 136 positions in total abolished by our recommendations. In addition to that, there'd be another 11.3 million dollars of vacancies savings that the agency would manage to. So those are quite large vacancy savings across this department. Mr. Chair, that is the sort of the overall discussion. What I'd like to do now is move on to the various budget units and have you, if possible, vote on them as we go through it.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I just want a confirmation then. We're actually, the total number of positions abolished is 136,
mm-hmm.
but then there'll be further vacancy savings of $11.3 million.
That is right.
So it's a combination of those two.
And the 136 add up to roughly $8 million in position savings and associated S&S costs. So there are some sizable decreases in this budget. But please remember that of any public safety budget, almost any public safety budget that you have seen corrections, I need to say this carefully, took hits in community corrections, sizable hits in community corrections, but in the rest of their system, the cuts were not as drastic as elsewhere in the public safety, mainly to keep prisons open and not to release offenders. Moving on to institutions, as I said before, the governor relies on extensive use, over 400 new temporary emergency beds. This pretty much uses this this use proposed use pretty much uses what is available in the system for that. And other than a few places throughout the system, most notably at the state penitentiary, where the upper floors of selected cell blocks, the building codes experts or the building experts say you really can't put any more people up there for structural reasons, and in the various intensive management or disciplinary management units where you want to keep them in a cell by themselves, pretty much have exhausted the use of doubling up in cells, having more than one prisoner in each cell. This budget also, towards the end of the biennium, relies on the use of renting county beds. Those county beds are available at this time, as estimated by the department, and hopefully they will remain available at the end of the toward the end of the biennium when they will be needed. That does not to say that capacity slows down. That is why we need to take a look at further capacity in 0305, and I'll get to that in a little later in my recommendations.
Senator George.
Mr. Chairman, are the county is okay with the 6413? Do we have any response from them?
Mr. Chair, Senator George, that is not necessarily the amount that the department will negotiate with counties. That is the amount that is budgeted for that purpose. It really reflects what the department has for costs for security, housing, and food, medical. It does not necessarily include a small amount for programming, some of the program which would likely not be out in the county jails because they wouldn't have the staff out in the county jails to do that. Going on, federal funds used in this division are expected to reduce significantly. We'll get to that in a minute. And there was subcommittee discussion and interest in the distribution of staff between facilities. The department put together a number of presentations around that for selected members of the subcommittee. and there still may be interest in that. We would recommend a budget note requiring the agency to complete a non-security staff distribution model that's similar to the one recently completed for security staff, to be completed by next biennium or next session of the legislature. I have not included that budget note as I have included others back in the budget note section, so that would have to be a conceptual budget note. And finally, as sort of major issues, the subcommittee was interested in overtime. I took a look at overtime. There, in many cases, there are valid reasons for the use of overtime. High use of overtime at, like, the state penitentiary is because there's a lot of folks that are needed to be guarded at the hospital, Salem Hospital, and other hospitals as they leave. And that is often done by the use of overtime. In other cases, there was reasons that were not as solid as that in my mind, and for that reason we're recommending a budget note instructing DOC in the languages later on in the memo to return to the e-board during the interim to report on overtime and the implementation of some recently implemented management actions or suggested uses to control overtime that the department has undertaken in the last couple months. And that budget note would require them to come back, report on the use of overtime and the effectiveness of the new procedures. I'm going into the packages and the decision making. The first one is policy package 132. This provides an other fund expenditure limitation for costs of security review differentials. For selected staff, there is only an other funds addition to this one that still leaves underfunding of almost $725,000 that the department will have to deal with. These are part of contractual agreements already in place. The LFO recommends $40,473 of other fund limitation for this. Getting back to a problem that Representative Hansen was having with the state police budget, where things didn't seem to have zero up on the numbers. Keep in mind that our differences are from the governor's balanced budget that are showing up here, and for that reason, I went back and made sure, and I was catching all the numbers I had to, and I can show you, Representative Hansen, what the differences were. But for that reason, I put both the governor's budget and the LFO recommendation here for your approval. The next set of packages, 0105, the standard adjustments we've already talked to. In this case, we're talking over $16 million of general fund savings from vacancy, merit, and other savings in those standard adjustments. The next page. The prison population forecast demonstrated a hole, as the April forecast was brought out, of roughly $6.6 million across the entire agency. We'll come back to that later on in our recommendations, but this was here just to show that there is a significant hole in that budget because of the new forecast. While the governor's budget reflected the forecast in October, the new forecast in April showed what I saw was a 250 bed capacity increase by the end of the biennium. 007 recommends the suggestions on looking at vacant positions and other position actions. We have identified 19 further positions than those listed above that can be taken. This represents 10.34 FTE and a savings of just under $2.1 million. These include two assistant superintendents, one at Columbia, and where was the other one? Santa Ana, thank you. As well as a security manager, corporal, sergeant, lieutenants, a maintenance supervisor, safety specialist, and support staff. Again, you'll notice that on the most part, those are either central or admin or support staff in nature, minimizing the impact of the security officer ranks. 008 reflects something that's both in the governor's revised and the co-chair's budget, the following federal revenues for the state criminal alien assistance program. We had assumed in the governor's budget of $9.3 million. It looks like that was significantly cut in the last congressional appropriation bills, and there's a need to backfill to the tune of almost $5.1 million for the entire biennium. This is an estimate because the congressional cut was only for 1 year, and we, of course, are going over a span of over two federal fiscal years in looking at this. So this is an estimate. If that falls even further, it's a rebalance issue during the boards.
Mr. Chair. Representative Butler.
This is one of those programs that the feds come up with, and it's just a really good idea to start off with, and they'll fund it if we'll go along with it. And then later they mandate it, and then finally they come and cut the program or cut the funding of the program. Is that what we have here, Doug?
That could very well be the case. And, in fact, even before the cut, that the need for the $5 million backfill, the cost for this type of offender, the feds were only covering, I think, roughly 30% of those cuts, even before the cut. So now it's significantly below 30%.
I think the counties probably feel the same way.
Yeah. There are other parts of the state budget that has the same problem from experience. House Bill 2647, this is a bill that has passed both houses. I'm not sure if it's signed yet. That establishes an alternative intensive incarceration treatment program at Powder River and Baker. This is a program that will be similar to the boot camp program, but with a more non-military emphasis. And it involves early release of program participants, much like the boot camp that is over in North Bend. So there are savings. The resulting savings, assume 100 inmates would be released early, sometime during the biennium, or there'll be 100 inmates participating in the program. So there's a $1.5 million savings in the institution's budget, as well as personnel-related savings, including 7.69 positions, and over the course of biennium, even though they're not taken out because they are present sometime during the biennium, 11 positions will be abolished by the beginning of the 03-05 or the 05-07 biennium. I think the plan here is to take a look at the effectiveness of this program versus the boot camp. Representative Williams had authored, I believe, this bill originally after discussions with the department. And finally, package 010 are some technical adjustments. It's actually a general fund decrease of $125,000, but it does add 16 positions and 10.41 FTE associated with, in terms of building the budget. I'm going to let DAS or the department answer any questions regarding that, but it does, right now they actually have negative positions where they're supposed to have zero positions in the way the budget was formulated. So this is a technical adjustment. It does not add any obligation in terms of general fund to the budget.
Do you want to pass this out? Did you pass this out?
No, I haven't.
Why don't you do that, and then we'll approve it. Then we'll move it to the next for the institution.
Doug's passing out Addendum 1 to Senate Bill 5509 in regard to the what's being in regard to corrections. And I think as we move through this budget, the chair's intent is to move the budget out today. And there are some pieces in here that we're going to take up on motions later on LFO motions later on in regard to the institutions and the other things, but I wanted to put that out at least at this point in front of you so you knew, for example, in this particular piece, the prison population forecast issue of 0.6 million that's been bantied about is number two, I believe, on Doug's memorandum. It's my intent that we would pass that particular piece at a later point in time. But what I'd like to do is stick with Doug's memo, then we'll go to Addendum 1 of the memo if the committee is inclined to stay with that proposal so we can stay on the sheets of paper. Is everyone okay with that? Everyone's okay with that? The chair would like to entertain a motion in regard to LFO's recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, I move LFO's recommendation 001 through 005 and all other recommendations in this area where it says recommend approval.
Okay. Senator Devlin moves the LFO recommendations in regard to the institutions portion of the Department of Corrections budget, which includes $477,402 or $477,402,055 and 3,089 FTE, as well as the conceptual budget notes surrounding the distribution of staff. All right. You've heard the motion. Any questions? Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Let's go on to the correctional program.
The chair, this is the second largest portion of the corrections budget. Health services, of course, is the largest component. Health services by itself takes up almost 50% of this correctional program's budget. You add pharmacy services, that's another 13%, so almost two-thirds of this budget is related to health care. You can see in that first bullet the breakdown of the other programs in education, mental health, A&D, and intake and administration of this division or this budget unit. As an inmate enters the system, almost all of them have some type of issue around that requires addressing to reduce their traits of criminality. Included in that, of over 20% have mental health problems, and roughly 80% have issues around alcohol or substance abuse, alcohol and other drugs, with almost 50% of those with severe problems with substance abuse. Healthcare, mental health, education, other correctional programs are required in large part by constitutional issues, either the U.S., the state constitution, or court cases that affirm those provisions in the constitutions. As I've said before, there is no clear-cut line of requirements. Things must be taken on an individual-by-individual basis, but it is pretty clear that that if the department did not provide sufficient health care, you would have a number of lawsuits. In fact, they are sued on a regular basis around medical care. And on the most part, if I'm not mistaken, win all those cases, too. These programs, education, some of the alcohol and drug, other programs, also contribute to the requirements of ballot measure 17. If you recall, that is a ballot measure that requires that inmates are either working or making progress toward employment or addressing specific programmatic issues. The policy packages and adjustments here, the first one, is an increase in federal expenditure limitation for the violent offender reentry grant. The November e-board approved this grant and approved the limitation rule 103. This just continues that limitation increase for the 0305. These dollars are committed by the federal government to the department. And this grant is directed at offenders age 14 to 35 and is designed to treat or serve roughly 300 offenders throughout the system. The next set, 001 through 005, are the standard ones we've already talked about. In this case, there's a reduction of roughly $5.5 million general fund. 006, there may be some discussion around this if people want to take a look at the dollar amounts. This recommendation reflects the $7 million general fund savings and correctional programs. This is both a savings in contract related services in education, religious, and other areas, and a reduction of 26 positions and 16.2 FTE, which is part of the 136 positions I mentioned before. There has been many discussions around this provision and this. I don't know if there's some agreement around changing this figure at all, but the co-chair's budget did have a $7 million reduction in it. And the final policy package here is related to the Powder River Intensive Incarceration Treatment Program. This just reflects the correctional program side of that, reflecting a $62,000 decrease. Again, that just parallels the policy package and the institutional side of the budget.
Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, are you ready for motion?
I am, if there are no questions.
Mr. Chairman, I understand on 006 I will need to move to make a conceptual amendment.
I think we're going to deal with that in number two.
No, it's different.
Oh, the conceptual amendment here.
You
okay.
need to do it here.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, do I need to suspend the rules, or do you want to go through that process?
We probably do, just so we're on the record. I know Representative, can you hold on just a second? Representative Hansen did have a question.
My question may be relevant to his motion. So
okay.
So I'll hold on.
Mr. Chairman, I move to suspend the rules for purposes of making a conceptual amendment.
Senator Devlin moves to suspend the rules for the purposes of making a conceptual amendment. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered, the rules are suspended for the purpose of making a conceptual amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I move that 006 recommendation be changed from $7 to $5 million and that LFO staff obviously prepare the description of what the impact of that amendment is with DOC in terms of number of positions, et cetera. And that's the motion.
Thank you. Senator Devlin moves to conception amend policy package number 006 to read $5 million and to make the appropriate changes in the LFO, to make the appropriate changes in the staffing and the other pieces that need to get done as a result of this. This is part of a negotiated concept that has been done in the overall budget in regard to the public safety budgets in total. So any objection to that? Seeing none, it's so ordered. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Did that answer Representative Hansen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move all recommendations to the corrections program budget by LFO, where it says recommends approval, including the LFO recommendations 001 through 005 and 006 as conceptually amended.
Okay. Senator Devlin moves the corrections program recommendation by LFO as conceptually amended for policy package 006 by this committee. I just have there is a budget note on this particular area. I will say for the record the chair is not fully convinced on the programmatic pieces of the budget. We've met on several times, and I haven't been able to meet with you, with the department, because I've been pulled in and out of meetings too, so I appreciate the department's willingness to continue to come to the table and discuss the programs. I do believe that in order for the department to come back next session to make the arguments they need to make, either in support of their program or those people who may believe that the programs aren't valid either, for them to make their argument that this needs to be looked at, that was the reason for the budget note in this particular package, and the department knows that at least the chair is pretty serious about this, and I think generally people would like to continue to fund programs, but at the same time continue to track those programs to make sure that that the department can continue to make a compelling argument in their belief that these programs are successful. With that, if there anyone else have any comments, Representative Butler on Powder River, on the A&D.
I appreciate the good work that's been done there, and encourage that process to go forward. That's a good. I think that in the long run, that will yield great results for the state when you see the recidivism rate drop and the success rate go through the ceiling. I think that it will provide the model and a huge amount of community involvement.
Okay. And just for the record, Director DeHaan, the A&D program at Powder River will be fully funded within this corrections programmatic budget. Is that correct?
Sir.
The answer is yes. For the record, you can take that back. All right. Any other questions? All right. At this point in time, unless there's an objection, we'll proceed with the motion on the corrections programs as amended. Seeing no objection, so ordered. Doug?
Mr. Chair, Community Corrections, we've talked about it a little already, but as I said before, there's a $30.6 million hole. As you know, state allows counties to opt out if grants fall below what is in terms of below CSL, unless there is no CSL adjustment in the DOC budget. They can provide a 180-day notice. Currently, four counties, they're listed there as Lynn, Lane, Marion, and Curry counties had notified. They have notified based on the 0103 amounts, because the special sessions cut a significant amount out of community corrections also. Counties pay roughly 25% of community corrections costs, but a lot of that comes out of Multnomah County, where they pay for 40% of the cost. Some counties put in little, if any. Some counties put in significant amounts. It varies from county to county. And I think there were some questions about workload that people have talked about. There have been discussions with local community corrections folks, sheriffs, and others throughout the session, but they have not been held for a while, of changing the workload. I think those right now, are those talks have been suspended and likely will not be needed if the $30.6 million hole is filled. In terms of I do need to comment that DOC reported at the September e-board, I'm at the top of page 8, of a study looking at best practices among counties and around the country. It is LFO's opinion that that there could be cost savings or more effective services if the practices of some counties were shared by other counties. Again, this department doesn't have a great deal of stick in this case. They cajole and encourage. Their stick is rather small to get counties to undertake practices. And reductions in other budgets, mainly around alcohol and drug treatment, in other parts of the state budgets, most notably DHS, have a direct impact on the community correction systems. Some of that DHS money is used for substance abuse treatment in the community correction system. Specific recommendations around community corrections or 0105, the LFO adjustments, there's no adjustments because basically there's no staff in this budget unit. 006 is the final part of that House Bill 2647. Since some offenders will be released early under that bill as they complete the program, much like the boot camp, there will be increased costs going out to the county, or increased revenues or resources out to the counties to take care of that increased caseload. In this case, it is $192,600. And finally, 007 is there to remind you of the $30.6 million hole that will be dealt with in the second, or the addendum memo here in a little bit. And that, Mr. Chair, is community corrections.
Okay. I asked Representative Butler to ask the county something in regard to this particular budget to see if there's been some discussion and talk about the inflationary cost the counties were not considering in regard to, like, the cost of energy and some of those kinds of things that we do give Department of Corrections, but we don't necessarily give the counties.
Mr. Chair,
that's not correct.
The inflation for things like fuel and other things have been stripped out of this budget also.
No, I understand that, but there's a bill in. There's a bill in that says that my understanding is there's a bill in, or there is interest at the county level in trying to make sure that those things are not stripped out of the community corrections kind of budgeting.
Mr. Chair, I know that I believe the Senate Bill 50, but I remind the subcommittee that inflation or adjustments to take care of rising costs and energy or anything else is not included in the DOC budget either at this time. So I'm not sure, just to make that clear.
Okay. Well, we will. Let me wait until the... We had a clarification, Representative Butler. Will you repeat what you just said, Doug?
Mr. Chair, just to remind the subcommittee that inflation for the rest of DOC's budget, that is non-community corrections portion, there is no adjustment for inflation for fuel or some of those things in the major part. So if fuel costs go up out at Snake River or one of the other cases, they will have to find that money elsewhere in their budget.
And so, so counties are being treated the same as we're treating DOC, at least at this point in time.
The only exception would be staff increase cost of the roll-up of decisions made for 0103. That is built into the budget. If counties had to, I mean, that's the case for any budget that has sort of a state component and a county component.
And that roll-up is based upon the headcount anyway.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, Paul Snyder from AOC is going to give me the bill number for the House bill for Representative Williams that has worked that up in Judiciary. but it's my understanding that that bill would discuss the, in future how that how the CSL it was originally that, that it was contemplated that, that the CSL increases would translate through for all that which was taken by the Department of Correction would be taken then also by the Community Corrections. And now it's my understanding that there might be in the future, and that's what this would be about, would be to anticipate that whatever playing field we determine and define those roll-ups, whether it's an energy roll-up, and again in the future,
yeah.
An energy roll-up or a medical or prescription roll-up and costs, that that the counties would bear that same proportion, because they're obviously their medical costs, their energy costs are also being increased.
And I'd asked Representative Butler. We had talked and spent some substantial time as to the recidivism rates and the various pieces on those graphs from county to county, and we saw substantial disparity. I don't know if we're comparing apples to apples or not, but would be nice to at least, if we need to do so statutorily, create a way prospectively to reward those counties that are doing things right. Try and do a carrot approach into the future. I don't know. We probably can't do it this session, but I would like the record to reflect that we would like the department to take a look at how they we have the budget note in, but how we can encourage counties to use the best practices. So, anyway, at this point in time, the chair would take a motion. Representative Hansen.
Well, going back to this issue of I don't know the exact state of art of the best terms, but in terms of the workload reduction, I think the problem we have, even with a $30 million increase, is that it still might be legally possible for counties, some counties, to opt out. I don't think that's anybody's intention that they want to, that this is... But I would hope that the department would have the capacity to be able to continue to work with the counties in terms of ways to keep them from opting out. And I don't know if that's whether that reaches it in budget note, possibly tying that in with the language on best practices. That if there's a way through either adopting best practices to get more efficiency or reducing workload in order to keep counties participating in the 1145 program. I think there needs to be an encouragement of both of those. The department could respond.
Can you comment on that, Ben?
Need for that.
Chair, Representative Hansen, I'm not quite sure that I know where you're going with this, other than to state from the department's point of view that 1145 is definitely the way to do business, and we'll do everything in our power to promote and sustain those programs in the community. It's a real complicated question legally about how much authority the counties have to opt out at given budgeted levels. And I think that my understanding is that the 30.6 does the job as far as the legal requirements. If you're suggesting a different level of payment for individual counties, that would be a financial issue that we could not commit to. But anything short of that in terms of relationship and support and open dialogue, we're absolutely in agreement with that, because we value those partnerships and we want to keep them alive.
Other than the changing the financial structure, do you feel that you have the authority to negotiate workload issues?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, I think some of the workload reduction discussions that have occurred with DOC staff and the locals have been very productive, although I have to say the results are not going to be very popular locally in terms of reducing the level of supervision and that sort of thing. I think most people would agree that wouldn't be something that we want to see. at the local level. So the workload reduction piece is a little bit difficult for us. I don't think it's been a popular approach in the local communities. So I'm not sure. We're having an open discussion about that, but I don't think it's going to get a lot of local support.
Further questions?
No.
Okay. So we need to vote on the LFO recommendation regarding community correction grants.
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that Senate Bill 267 was the one that was being worked in the House Judiciary, which perhaps delineated some of the duties and responsibilities there that relative to the budget development related to county community corrections. So perhaps, Doug, we could take a look at that to make sure that that's incorporated. Thank you.
Bill Taylor's here too from the House Judiciary Committee. Bill, if you could just make sure and get with Doug on where we're going with Senate Bill 267, and let Doug know, we would appreciate it. And get us the information.
Okay.
All right. Community correction grant. I think what we'll do is we'll move this, and then we'll go to the memo last, and add these things at the end. Is that all right? We'll move this LFO recommendation, then we'll move the pieces on addendum one later.
So you want to move standard recommendation 001 through 005.
Correct.
And recommendation 006. So moved.
Senator Devlin moves the LFO recommendations regarding the community correction grants.
I guess there is none.
There is none. Most.
So I'll just, Mr. Chairman, I'll just amend my motion to move recommendation 006.
Why don't we just move all of the LFO recommendations?
All one.
Okay. As one unit. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All the one.
Senator Devlin moves the LFO recommendations regarding community correction grants for a total of $153,172,931. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, moving on to the next budget unit, Central Support and Operations. This is your financial information systems, human resources, and other central functions of the agency. One major function of this unit has been the oversight and coordination of facility construction. You'll see later that we recommend the abolishment of a number of these positions that are no longer needed because construction is not necessarily moving forward at the pace that was originally expected to. If you move to page 9, these are the adjustments, 001 through 005, the standard adjustments. In this case, they cut just shy of $1 million for merits, vacancies, AG, DAS, and inflation costs. 006 abolishes 35 positions, 36.42 FTE in the business and finance area. Many of these positions are related to construction projects, so there is a large decrease in other funds. In addition, there is about $2.6 million of other fund limitation that is no longer needed around construction projects. Also, other positions that are cut are related to warehouse distribution, purchases, and facility staff. 007 abolishes 8 positions in the human resources area, affecting training, record, payroll, recruitment, and labor relations. 008 abolishes 10 positions in information systems and other funding for contracts and other purchase services. This will affect technical support, help desk, and offender information areas. I must say these position cuts and the others that I've listed, many of them are vacant positions or positions that will begin at the beginning of the old 305 budget. Only a few of the positions that I've listed are filled positions at the present time. And then finally, 009 are the technical adjustments that must be made in terms of that were missed in putting together the governor's balanced budget. And in this case, it reconciles adjustments around centralized communications, which was mandated in a budget note to be done. In this case, it's a reduction of general fund of $41,587, plus it adds a position, adds one FTE for a transfer between institutions into the information management area. And that, Mr. Chair, are the adjustments.
Thank you. Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I move all the recommendations to Central Support Operations, and I do have one comment. The comment is that I appreciate all the work that the Chair and Doug and the administration, DOC administration, has done on this. I just hope we don't have to revisit this in the next budget cycle in the same way that we're revisiting the Oregon State Police, and that we've cut their sort of centralized administrative functions to a level where we're now having to restore them because we cut them too low.
I appreciate those comments, Senator Devlin, and I appreciate the department's cooperation in trying to come up with definitely Doug for digging in, and Craig Campbell as well for looking at that, as well as Linda. I know this has been a tough part of this particular budget. So with that, Senator Devlin makes the motion to adopt the LFO recommendations regarding central support and operations, the amount of $54,606,248 and 300.58 FTE. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Doug.
Mr. Chair, the next part of the budget is the administration. This one is slightly a misnomer because the central administration of the department is a relatively small portion of this. The majority of the staff are the inspections unit, hearings, investigations, audits, and also the, I think it's 9 or 10 staff that deal with community corrections programs are also part of this unit. There are really no major issues here. The policy packages and other adjustments, there are the standard ones, 001 through 005, reflecting just a little over $1.2 million. This one is relatively large because the Attorney General charges are the DAS assessments are centralized here, so you see a significant reduction of almost $1 million just for that out of this $1.2 million. 006 abolishes 15 positions in the inspections unit involving special investigations, audits, and hearings. All but two of these are new positions based on caseload growth. In response to Senator Devlin's concern, I share that concern, but I surely don't share that concern to the extent that the state police were cut during those periods. I think there's the opportunity here to go through more selectively, unlike the state police cuts. The area that does concern me is if there is caseload growth, the reduction of the $11.3 million in vacancy savings does tighten the spigot down on the department. They have used those vacancy savings in the past to respond to cost increases because of energy, cost increases because of caseload growth, or whatever it might be. So, but the co-chairs were well aware of that. We made it numerous times to them and other folks. And if there's an area of concern, it's around that type of thing for me. Adjustment 007, again, are technical adjustments. And in this case, it's the consolidation of telecommunications into a single unit. In this case, it's an increase of $167,000.
All right. You've heard the recommendations regarding administration. Any questions? If not, the Chair would entertain a motion regarding the LFO recommendations of administration. Senator Devlin. Senator Devlin moves the LFO recommendations regarding administration, the amount of $32,026,268 for a total of 65 FTE. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, debt service. Unlike most agencies, this agency has a significant amount of debt service. In fact, roughly 10% of their budget, general fund budget, is debt service related, all because of the significant growth in the past few years of the correctional system. There were significant savings made in 2001-03. That's why if you take a look at the column in that chart in the middle of page 10, it talks about $27.9 million of general fund of debt service, That all came about because they could make some one-time reductions because of construction savings that happened all throughout the special sessions. They also refinanced much of that debt with lower interest rates, and that's why you see the $248 million of non-limited. Looking on to the governor's recommended it, that $27.9 million jumped up to $107 million as they had to build back those one-time decreases during the 103. The adjustment that LFO is looking at and recommending here is the governor's budget assumed $7.5 million increase in debt service over the amount that was made in building the budget. That was there because the payback, a $13.6 million loan from the operating funds of the department to start up costs for Lakeview and Madras and other pre-construction costs, and roughly $1.5 million required for the final Senate Bill 1145 facility that they have in the pipeline in Multnomah County. Since that time, the department and DAS has worked together and eliminated the need for the financing of the $13.6 million loan and reduced the need for the Multnomah County because of financing savings. And so you're able to cut just under $6 million from the governor's budget, and that is our recommendation. Instead of $7.5 million increase in debt service, it is only $1.5 million or $1.6 million increase.
Okay. Do we need to put the ball on?
Why don't we do that?
Okay. So you've heard the LFO recommendation regarding debt service. I think that we are also going to take another motion later on in regard to specifically Lakeview at the very end, that we'll have that as something with Addendum 1, but I would like a motion in regard to the debt service package as presented in the memorandum we have currently in front of us.
So move.
Representative Hansen moves the debt service. In regard to the Department of Corrections budget, in the amount of $101,529,597.
Mr. Chairman, this is so we both can get an answer to the committee.
All right.
It was my turn first to be awake, and now it's his turn.
Representative Hansen is always alert and able and ready to receive information at a rapid pace. Thank you.
You haven't known him long enough.
Oh, okay. Any question? Any other questions? I will take no other comments disparaging the good character of the good representative from Portland.
In the mornings, like
I understand. All right. I'm glad we separated you two. No objections. If there's no objections, so ordered on the debt service. Doug, capital improvements.
Mr. Chair, capital improvements. There's roughly a budget of a little over $2 million here. This is an area of great need, as you know. Not all the facilities of the Department of Corrections have been built in the last 10 years or so. There are some that date back to the 1860s, I believe, down the street. And a 1996 consultants report identified over $70 million of improvements, if I'm not mistaken, and there's still $46 million of those remain. And this $2 million that is recommended will not go very far in eating away with that. But then again, given the constraints of the budget time, this has been cut. What has been reduced in the bottom of page 11 is the inflation. This is one area the governor had left the inflation in the budget to the tune of $71,000. It is LFO's recommendation, as it strives to take out all inflation out of all budgets, to take it out of this budget also. If we were to add back funding for specific functions, this would be one area that LFO would suggest that a place to take a look at.
The chair would entertain a motion for the chewing gum, duct tape, and rubber band capital improvements budget for the Department of Corrections.
Mr. Chair, I would so move. I think it's appropriate if these facilities date back to 1860 that I should be making the motion.
Mr. Chair, just one question.
Well, let me take the motion then, you guys. So the chair will take the wise motion from the senior representative from Multnomah County, $2,030,272 in regard to capital improvement. Question, Representative Buck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to recognize this is a high priority for ADVAC. The concern that I have is that with the age of these facilities and that we're now approaching 8 years since that consultant's report, and have only been able to supply just a small portion of these improvements for the maintenance and repairs, and recognizing that some of these facilities have certainly gone through their shares of earthquakes and other natural catastrophes, my concern is, are we being penny wise and pound foolish and not seeing to anything that could create a life safety issue in the event of some catastrophic, particularly where these are folks that are housed on a 24-hour-a-day basis. I'd just like some degree of assurance that we're not putting ourselves at higher risk.
Representative, I think we are putting ourselves at risk, in particular into this budget. I think the issue is this deferred maintenance, and I think the department could probably speak to this, is something that we continue to ignore as a legislature, but especially during these very, very tough times. As we know, the military department has some substantial life safety deferred maintenance issues as well. I would definitely like to see us be able to fund more here, but Ben, I think that the department will try and triage as best they can, and I think we have to leave the door open for the department to come to the legislature. And I think the budget should reflect that in my conversations with the department.
Mr. Chair, if that's a note from Senator Devlin, Representative Hanson.
We were told to confiscate all notes this morning, were we not?
Edited through
yes.
Your...
It was supposed to be edited through the chair. Doug, you're no longer allowed to circumvent the chair. Representative Butler and I made a deal with these two feuding gentlemen to edit all correspondence between the two earlier today.
Mr. Chairman, but if he was there doing the plumbing work in 1860, I think it's worth passing an oath for.
Okay. I guess the difference, Mr. Chair, the difference between this facility and the military department is the military department has those folks there somewhat less restrictively than perhaps the Department of Corrections does. I realize that after they sign the name to the line, signatures to the bottom line on their contract with the military department, they're going to be spending some time involuntarily that they'd like to spend somewhere else. That's really not the case with the folks that we may have in some of the prison systems, those older facilities. So that would be my expression of concern, but would appreciate a response.
Ben, can you respond to that fact and also let us know that you'll communicate with the emergency? The department will communicate with the emergency board.
Patrick, Representative Butler, we really do appreciate your willingness to entertain the request of the legislature if we have an emergency, because as you pointed out quite rightly, Representative Butler, we are on the edge. We have no way of predicting an earthquake or some other catastrophe when the wind will blow the roof off the state penitentiary. We have a triage list that we're working through. We're not making much progress. And the interesting piece to me is that we'll spend a lot of money building new facilities, yet let our old ones sort of crumble. So it's a major problem for the department, and we, again, appreciate your willingness to entertain any problems that we have in the next biennium.
Thank you. I will say that while the good representative didn't do the plumbing in 1860, at least he does, we did have an interesting conversation about plumbing and how it works at the corrections level, and he explained some good things to me about how some of this works. So I got a good education on that construction piece earlier this session.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if you're referring to the time when he told you that he can get the water to run uphill, I think you got a lot of discount.
Representative Hanson.
Well, all kidding aside, this is a very serious problem in terms of capital. And I would certainly hope that the time would get us to the point that either through COPs or through some vehicle to get caught up on the deferred maintenance on those facilities, because it's both serious from a safety, seismic, maintenance issue. It's also a very good way to save our investment in those facilities. And those facilities are going to be needed for a long time. and they're not scheduled to be replaced. And I wish we could be addressing it a lot more rapidly than we are now. But this is not a budget season that we get to do that.
Mr. Chair, that those folks that are sentenced here don't have to have the Measure 17 education time because they're experiencing a historical event as they go to these places with the long-term arrangements of these historical buildings that they get to stay in.
Okay. All right. We've had a good discussion on the capital improvements piece. The chair has expected a motion. The chair has received a motion for the amount of $2,030,272 in capital improvements budget. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Capital construction is up.
Mr. Chair, there's actually not a recommendation needed here, but there will be one potentially in the next memo. With the decision on the governor's balanced budget not to go ahead with Lakeview, Madras, and Junction City, which had originally been planned to start up during 0305, there is zero in capital construction at this time. But I think we very well may return to that issue here in a few minutes.
Okay, thank you, Doug. On to the budget notes, then.
Budget notes are three listed here, plus a fourth one, which I've heard that I need to do on the staff distribution model, which I have yet to draft. But the first one deals with overtime reporting, requiring the e-board requiring the department to come back to the e-board after September 1, 2004 on the progress it's made on the use of overtime, including information on a facility-by-facility basis and the description of the impact of various policies put in place to deal with the increased overtime. The second budget note deals with the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. This is basically the same note that is in the Parole Board's budget, just reworded to reflect that it sits in the Department of Corrections budget. But it basically says those two should work together on looking and evaluating the effectiveness of the community corrections program, specifically about the impact of the use of revocations and sanctions and the impact they have on county-by-county recidivism rates. Report back to the e-board at its first meeting after July 1, 2004.
And it's not mentioned in there, but I think incumbent in that recommendation, Doug, is that they'll work with the stakeholders, obviously, the counties. And, Paul, I'd hope that you would take note of this particular budget note. The committee does have some concerns about the effectiveness of the programs that are being put together at the local level. There's wide variety of recidivism rates and effectiveness rates at the local level. And if you would take that to your folks, we certainly would appreciate your folks' participation in the association's cognitive program stuff.
This budget note is in response to the many discussions, sometimes short, around the correctional programs budget. It instructs the department to report back to the First Emergency Board after January 1, 2004 on a plan and progress in evaluating success of the substance abuse and cognitive programs. The department is moving forward at this time already on developing that plan, and this budget note requires them to come back. It also instructs the governor, as much as a budget note can, to include any resources in the 0305 budget to implement an evaluation mechanism for these programs. The agency and myself and others have had discussions, and one of the things that I have suggested to the agency would be to maybe start doing some follow-up survey as someone leaves their prisons before moving on to the community. They do. They have implemented a pretty in-depth review on a prisoner-by-prisoner basis as someone comes into the system on their traits of criminality and what has to be done. And what my suggestion was, they do it on a sample of those leaving the system to see how effective they have been at addressing those traits of criminality. Those are the three budget notes that I have listed here, Mr. Chair, and then I will work on getting the fourth one dealing with the staff distribution model.
Okay. And just on the cognitive program and substance abuse evaluation, I intend for that, too, to extend out into the recidivism pieces so that we're tracking who's gone through what programs and how they came in, what they were when they left, and if we had recidivism or not. And I know that that's not a one-biennia kind of deal. It's a multi-biennia deal, but if we don't begin to do so now, we won't be able to complete it. I told the department I would rather have them decrease a few slots to be able to do the evaluation pieces on these programs. So just for the record, that's my intent. Okay. Is there any objection regarding the budget notes? Actually, I need to take a motion in regard to the budget notes.
Mr. Chair, I move that the pre-budget notes that are presented by Legislative Fiscal Office be accepted and pending staff distribution model that we wait to receive that number four, but we authorize Legislative Fiscal Office Doug Wilson to proceed with the sniffing of that particular staff distribution model.
Representative Butler moves the budget notes and the staffing distribution model. Is there any objections? Seeing that, the budget notes are ordered. Doug, you want to go on to the performance measures?
Mr. Chairman, performance measures in your packet should be a list of performance measures that looks something like this. There are a total of, I believe, ten performance measures. We reviewed those. You had reviewed those. And in this case, I think generally they were accepted by the committee as well as by the performance review committee that DAS and state agencies have. The performance review committee found that the first performance measure that measures the percentage of inmates with a correctional plan is not all that useful, since DOC generally requires everyone to have a plan. So there was some discussion around that. We recommend that this measure be eliminated or replaced with something measuring along the same lines, but something that is not necessarily required. Like I said, the other performance measures are generally acceptable to the subcommittee.
The chair only had one particular comment. I'm concerned with the TIF performance measure down in regards to the successful reintegration of inmates into the community. The post-prison supervision convicted of a felony within 3 years of release from prison, I don't think is an adequate performance measure. But I know the department has limitations as to their ability to obtain the data that's available, though I don't understand all the steps to obtaining that data. But I would like the department to come back next session with a plan on updating that, so we actually know if they're committing another crime rather than just another felony. And if they can come back with a plan, I would certainly appreciate that. And whether that plan is going to cost money or not, I at least would like the notes to reflect that, Doug, and if it's going to cost money to have that as part of a policy option package that they can present to the legislature. Okay. Anything else in regard to the performance measure?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
I would move that we, well, let's see, we don't take motions on the actual performance measures, but I would then agree that number one probably needs that requirement, where it is a broad requirement, probably needs to replace that performance measure and acknowledge number five, that the felony, the recidivism of felony versus other crimes, needs to be expanded next session. So it's my understanding that we don't take an actual motion relative to performance measurements.
Okay. Is everyone okay with that in regard to performance measures as part of your project write-up? Okay. Department's clear on that. Okay. Rather than go through each of these other funds ending balances, does anyone have any questions about particular other fund ending balances?
Same thing with ending balances. Mr. Chair, it's my understanding you don't have to take a motion on
this. Yeah, I don't think we have to take a motion. We have on occasion, just for the record, to say we've reviewed them, but I just wanted to see if anyone had any particular questions. The chair didn't have any particular questions on it, but provided us a good job of putting this together.
Mr. Chair, just by way of clarification,
clarification, other than an additional budget note, and what are the items that are still pending on Doug's list? And
Doug's got a, we have an additional memorandum, which I believe we distributed, but maybe
yes.
Okay. I think Doug is going to walk us through those additional holes that Doug identified.
The three items.
So we're moving to the June 16th, 2003 addendum number one that Doug has provided the committee.
Mr. Chair, and I'll go through these quickly because we've actually discussed these already. The first number one is $30,561,721 increase in general fund revenues to fill the community corrections hole. That brings them back to what DAS, the department, and us feel that is the amount needed so counties will not opt out.
Okay.
That, again, does not include any inflation, but so does the rest of the community, or the rest of the department's budget does not include inflation.
Why don't we just go keep going? And then
the next one fills the $6.6 million impact from the forecast in April over and above what was assumed in the governor's budget. That is divided into two groups. Institutions receives $4.8 million of that, 19.07 FTE to reflect the need for greater amounts. Or the number of offenders. There's actually a net reduction of one position here, and it's around the timing of when they open or fill or use some of the emergency beds as they bring them online. In correctional programs, there's $1.75 million increase in general fund for those additional inmates. Again, there's a negative one position, but an increase of 4.58 FTE. Number three is there is a change to this number after discussing with the chair and other members of the subcommittee. The transfer of youth age 21 and over, that amount should not be the $1.4 million. It should be a total of $597,164 general fund. This is actually a savings across OIA and corrections, but since the clients roughly, or clients, excuse me, the offenders, roughly 12 of them, will be coming from OIA to DOC, there is more savings in DOC, but these are net, or in OIA, but they're netted out by the increase in DOC's budget. So overall, there's roughly $116,000 savings to both budgets together. OIA has a greater savings. Corrections has an increase of just shy of $600,000. What I don't have and was unable to get in a hurry is the FTE needed by the department on this. I will work with that. There's, I think there was like one FTE or something, remembering looking at this, and the breakdown between corrections, correctional programs, and institutions. And I will get that before the budget goes to full committee.
Okay. Also on this, just so you, this is persons age or persons who will, after age 25, be transferred to the Department of Corrections to complete their sentences anyway. This will require legislation, is my understanding. It is my understanding that we will be given a policy bill to allow this particular piece to happen. And Senator Devlin.
My understanding also, I know that in doing the report, Doug will change the description of this,
yes.
Is that it's only actually, it's about 11 or 12 young men that are incarcerated out of the total that we discussed before, and these are largely the people that are going to do long time,
yep.
When they get to the DOC facility.
And actually, I believe it's age, with the change, it's age 23 and over, not age 21 anymore.
Yeah. Right.
And it represents actually 11.78 ADP in the OIA side.
Okay.
These are the Kip Kinkle.
And these are all male? These 12 OIA candidates are all male?
I believe they are.
I believe that that is the case in talking with Karen Bissell. All right. Representative Hansen.
When we work on the policy piece, I would hope there could be some type of an exception in terms of somebody that, say, going to be completing their sentence very shortly after age 25.
I think the chair's open on the policy particulars of that particular bill, and we can discuss both with the department and OIA what those will be. The savings is a nominal amount of savings in the total budget area, and so but this was something that we used to rebalance the budget in this particular area. All right. Doug, final recommendation, you're going to add number four.
Mr. Chair, number four will be the Lakeview site. Actually, the capital construction limitation is already in place from 2103, is my understanding, so there's no need to increase the VAT. It would be our recommendation to at least either here put a $1 placeholder in other fund debt service, or with the understanding that we could come back to the E-Board and establish another fund debt service. We will not know that exact amount until you get closer into the financing. The COP financing bill will include much more detail because that's where the authorization for the COP will take place.
The chair, at this point, my preference would be to do the $1 other funds limitation at this particular point in time, that then can be expanded at some later point in time after we've done the COP bill. It can't happen until the COP bill happens. Representative Dollar.
I concur that there ought to be a placeholder because of the expanding population, that the necessity of the expansion of Lakeview is well known. Plus, we already have approximately $6 million of infrastructure in the ground. And at a later time, when we come back to discuss the issues of the cost of energy down there, that's not going to be a big item because we're sitting right on top of a very valuable geothermal aqua resource that's going to be able to take care of that facility, plus maybe some greenhouses and lots of other good things to happen there.
At this point in time, the chair would take a motion to adopt the LFO recommendation as amended by LFO, really, in this committee for addendum number one, which includes the fill the gap in the community corrections budget of the amount of $30,561,721 in general fund, the fill the impact on prison population from the April 2003 forecast in the amount of $6,553,654 in general fund, the transfer in the Department of Corrections budget that will account from the OIA transfer in the amount of $597,164 approximately, and then adding item number four, which is to create a $1 limitation on other funds for the debt service for the Lakeview prison. Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, I was just going to add on the Lakeview prison, there will also be expenditure limitation necessary for finance costs, but there is an other fund limitation already in there, and then we could easily take care of that at a later date or as part of a rebalance.
Okay. Well, Representative Butler makes the motion as stated by the chair. Are there any questions on this particular motion? Doug?
Ms. Aikoff just reminded me, and I should have remembered this, if you do go forward with the Lakeview process, we will need to add three positions also that were already taken out of the budget. They will be other funded positions, part of the COPs, but it is the construction management group.
Okay, let's take the motion on the original one, and then we'll come back to the let's come back and do another separate motion, since this is a little more complex and Christine's probably talking like crazy to figure this one out. So I'd take a motion on a vote on the motion that we just made, Representative Butler just made. Is there any objection to that motion? Okay. Then Doug has Sue Aker from the department has reminded our good committee staff person from LFO that we do need to have a FTE recommendation in regard to three limited duration positions for construction management, Sue?
Actually, three full-time, because it extends through the biennium, so it would be three positions plus the associated other time limitation to carry their salaries.
But we could make those limited duration positions. Is that not correct? We just have to deal with those next biennium.
Mr. Chair, you would have an option of, in the past, these have been permanent positions, and the department removes them when they come vacant or when they are no longer needed. You could make them limited duration, but that would mean they'd be a separate policy package again in the 03-05 budget, where they would at least be continuing for a portion of the budget.
And the expenditure limitation is $424,388.
$424,388.
Okay.
And that would be other fund limitation.
I prefer to have those limited duration positions just right now. Does that create a problem in your ability to hire those people?
No, sir.
Okay. So at this point in time, the chair would move three limited duration positions, other funds and another funds limitation, $424,388, should the Lakeview debt service continue to pursue.
Is that 388?
Is that right? Any other questions on this motion? Okay. Any objections to the motion? Okay. So ordered. All right. The chair would, at this point in time, Senator Devlin.
Am I too fast?
No, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 5509 as amended and conceptually amended to the full committee with the pass recommendation.
Senator Devlin moves Senate Bill 5509, the Department of Corrections budget, as amended by this committee and as conceptually amended by this committee, to the full committee with a do-pass recommendation. Are there any questions? I just have a quick statement. We are going to continue to look at some of the staffing issues and the medical issues as we continue. I don't know if we can wrap anything else up on those issues this session, but I still want to... I know the department's committed to work on those things, Ben, and I appreciate that. We'll continue to look at both the medical and the administrative staffing as a result of what we've done today to get a better read on where we're at in the redistribution. So if there's no objections, Senate Bill 5509, as amended and conceptually amended by this committee, is sent to the full committee with a D-pass recommendation. So ordered. Thank you for all participating. Appreciate the work that Representative Hansen and Senator Devlin have put in off committee time to help resolve kind of the overall public safety budgets and the participation of everyone, including Doug and Christine, everyone else at LFO, in terms of trying to get this done. We're going to begin to start moving these budgets, so we're going to need you here. All right. With that, the committee is adjourned.
Thank you.
And we're ready to go.
Oh, that's a good.
Oh, carriers.